welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well.
My name's Christian Warren.
Jean Foster. Sarah Wells.
Alongside me are my friends and yours, Sarah Wells, Christian Warren, and we don't have Kevin today, Tinkin.
Yeah, Kevin is out today. Let's say that Kevin will be here when he can make it. Let's call it that.
Let's call it what it is. Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah, but I do miss Kevin. He's been out for a while. But we will actually be hearing Kevin's voice a little bit later in today's show.
Because
for the sermon clip, we'll get to it.
Did he interrupt Brad?
I pulled out the clip from the Generations video that aired before Brad went up. Which was super funny, but also, like, I think it's just a good intro to the series as a whole.
Dude, the seven died
at the emo
listening
part
to the video. The whole video, they were dying laughing.
Yeah, I think if I don't know who Nickelback is, I probably wouldn't get that joke. The emo.
I thought you were saying you don't know.
Yeah,
who they are.
No, but I see a 7 o'clock service totally getting that.
Oh yeah.
Other than, you
they
know.
Got the emo. They got the good looking seizure gyration. All
yeah,
that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
It was. They loved
what does
it.
He call it sparkle. Like when he's trying to think of new names for light.
That's funny. So, but on today's show, we're going to be talking about our new series, Generations, which is the start of potentially a year-long series.
Give or take 20 weeks.
Yeah. About the Bible from front to back, Genesis to Revelation. And once we kind of get past the first five books of the Bible, we will be going in chronological order of the Bible versus what the Bible kind of does. So that's exciting. And you probably noticed some flannel graphs and stuff. We'll talk about that in the next segment as well.
Yeah.
And Sarah's
so
got
fun.
Sarah's got a lot to say.
We played with those flannel graphs for quite a while.
PJ and I did too. Yeah.
And also we brought in a special guest today. Her name is Jessie Wilson.
All of our guests are special.
All of our guests are special.
Yeah, but Jessie's extra special.
Very extra special.
Okay, great.
And so Jessie will be on the show today talking about working in the office and trying to get volunteers to potentially be, you know, front desk people answering phones. But also Jessie is involved in our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram accounts. And we'll kind of hear about that from her and what she does at the well. She also picked out this week's music.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exciting. She'll share about that during her segment. And then we will essentially close out the show.
Essentially.
What do you guys think about that?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will close out the show.
Yeah.
You guys think we
it's
will close
gonna
out the show?
Happen.
What if we just didn't close out the show and we let it go on forever?
I think a lot of people would tune out.
I think they would do. I would tune out.
Sure.
We're funny people.
So stay tuned for that. Enjoy some, I would say, indie music.
Sure,
so,
indie music.
Here you go.
Three words that became hard to say. I and love and you. What you were then, I am today. Look at the things I do. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. Are you aware the shape I'm in? My hands, they shake, my head, it spins. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in.
The opinions expressed in this video do not represent the theological views of the Well Community Church or really even the Bible itself. Enjoy.
Well, Jesus.
Yes, God.
What should we do today?
We should create something.
I like it.
Like
we did with the angels.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth.
That was a good idea.
That was a great idea. They're gorgeous.
Yes, and the sounds they make. Singing is what I call it.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
Something I've actually been thinking about for the humans.
The humans?
Yes.
Singing?
Yes, because I'll invent air, and so vibrating air and musical melodies.
I mean, I can understand the angels, because they're angels.
They're going to make beautiful sounds that will evoke strong human emotions.
No.
By Beethoven and Bach, Chopin.
And Nickelback.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
All right.
Where is the Holy Spirit?
He's out hovering over the face of the deep, over the water. The waters are everywhere.
They are everywhere.
It's very unkempt. You know what? I'll gather the waters together. I'll even put an expanse between them, kind of to frame the land.
Land.
That's what I call it, the lumps of dirt in the waters. And I put the animals on it.
Animals?
Carbon-based life forms. Some furry, some long and scaly, and some just, they don't even look like animals. They're just lumpy little things. Fuzzy. Angry.
Yeah.
Toothy.
Okay.
Gnawing. Things with big chins. Okay. Things with big noses.
Pops, you are on a roll right now.
And they're all squishy.
They could frolic.
Yes.
And dance.
Speaking of dancing on the land, I have been working on dance for the humans as well.
Really?
Well, it's varying undulations of the body set to music. It's like a really good-looking seizure.
You don't think that they'll abuse that?
No, of course not. I mean, ballet.
Okay.
Jazz and tap.
Right.
Point.
The robot?
That's, I don't like that.
Why not?
It doesn't sound natural. How about ribbon twirling?
I feel like this is something we gotta take a vote on.
It'll mostly just end up in the Olympics.
Okay. Hey, you're God. This is your universe. I just don't know how this is all gonna be done when there's all this nothing.
Well, you can't see anything right now because it's dark. We need something. I mean, we really do need something to get this going, don't we?
Right.
Like a... Let there be...
Illumination. A radiance.
Let there be... A sparkle. Let there be shininess. What is it? It's the opposite of dark.
Light?
Light.
Light?
Yeah. Let there be...
Hey!
Yes, Lucifer.
Hey, I'm working on a... Something called emo right now. It's music, but it's also a fashion style. And if you don't think it's cool, then the people that think it's cool will just be like, oh, you don't get it. What do you think about that?
Can I talk to you in my office?
Yeah.
This is gonna go bad.
All right, that was a funny clip that aired before Brad came up and gave his sermon at all the services. That aired at all the services, right?
Yes.
And that was basically an intro to this series that we're doing called Generations. And each week, correct me if I'm wrong, but there will be videos, audios, kind of saying previously in the Bible. So we're doing Exodus this week, and it'll be previously in Genesis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the point of that is just kind of be fun and silly to go along with this flannel graph theme that many of you may have seen at church on Sunday. If you weren't there, maybe we can describe it to our listeners. But if you went to church in the early 90s, late 80s, there was...
Up to mid-90s.
Up to mid-90s. Maybe that was at River Farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
We used them.
But there were these things called flannel graphs. And in kids' classrooms, you would essentially teach the kids using these... What is it? Felt?
Flannel graph.
It's
felt.
Flannel
yeah.
is a type of material.
Felt. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
But flannel can still be that material.
Sure. And so we decided to spend a good chunk of money on, it's probably really cheap, but we bought a lot of flannel.
We bought a lot of flannel.
I was looking at all the little pieces you can put on there,
yeah.
And they're like the same flannels that we used when I was in elementary school. I remember these like vividly, like what story this one was for and which story this one was for. It was really fun.
The great thing is that already after one Sunday, people have started doing hilarious things with all the flannel graphs. Jane and PJ, one of our frequent guests, decided to post a photo of Jesus farting. So
it wasn't Jesus.
It was a woman farting in a man's face.
farting fire.
No, it was a cloud.
It was a cloud.
And he was on his knees with his hands over his face.
One of my favorite ones that somebody did at the Clovis campus was there's a well flannel, and not like the well church, but like an actual water well. And they put that well there, and then Jesus was above it, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches, and he had the fire underneath his legs, like he's shooting out of the well, and he had a broomstick in one hand.
We had one at North of a man who had his hand out, like he was telling a story or whatever.
Sure.
But under his hand was a kid's head, so like he was smacking a kid across the face.
So I think part of the whole flannel graph thing is... it's fun, and obviously people are going to be dumb with the flannel graph things, but that's kind of the point. The point is for it to be very cheesy throughout. I think when you talk about the Bible for, you know, Brad spoke for 40 minutes on Genesis, yeah, and that can sometimes seem like a very daunting thing, but I think what the flannel thing does is add the, like, the Bible is fun, it's cool, it's fun to read, and it's, we're going to poke fun at ourselves, we're going to poke fun even at the Bible, you know, and that clip that you heard is obviously poking fun at, like, pre-Genesis, you know, and I love, Kevin Tinkin is a part of that, and he plays two characters in that.
Yes, he does.
Jesus and Lucifer.
Yeah, he plays Jesus and Lucifer.
Yeah.
I mean, that deserves an Academy Award, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's about
you don't see Jim Caviezel playing Lucifer in The Passion of the Christ. I'm just saying.
You're
right. All
right. Man. You'd have to have some crazy makeup.
I don't know if you'll hear an audio each week, but you'll hear something.
Something interactive.
Sure.
And the flannel graph is interactive, too. So.
Now, one of the things that Brad mentioned in the beginning of his sermon was I'd call them Bible charts.
Yes.
And we haven't really done these in the past except for at the end of a series. So at the end of the Nehemiah series, we would have gotten one of these. I remember vividly the one at the end of Daniel, which was like crazy. We did one at the end of 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we do a series on John, and there was one at the end of
That was a long time ago. Yeah. But
good memory.
But basically the point was so that you could overview the entire sermon series, but this we're going to do it each week, and it'll be an overview of the entire sermon, but also the book of the Bible as well. And so what they essentially do is, and I'm going off of the Genesis one, but if you'd like to print this out, Brad strongly encouraged that before Sunday or Wednesday. Whoa, sorry, I had a little burp there, but the point would be to jot notes down and all of the above, but what it does is it basically goes, you know, chapter one, and it talks about God, foundations, forces, forms, fullness, you know, forming.
Those are the planks.
Sure. And then.
Sure.
Well, I'm.
1 through 12.
And then you go through like, okay, 6 through 9 is on judgment. This is chapter 6 through 9 of Genesis. Complete destruction, protected remnant, ark, salvation.
Yes.
It's pretty much the key points of all the chapters.
Yes. Correct.
And then we go into people from 13 to 50.
12 to 50.
12 to 50.
Yeah, so the first one is the planks and the second one is the patriarchs. But each one will be different according to what that, I guess, chapter of the Bible or book of the Bible is. But I think it's important to, if you have an iPhone, you can find it on the Well app, where you can also find the Spoutcast. You should listen to the Spoutcast while listening to Brad's sermon.
That would be overstimulating. Because I had a hard time keeping up with them sometimes yesterday.
Yeah. It's like watching a movie with the audio commentary in the back. Oh, they should listen to Brad's sermon and then push play on the Spoutcast.
No, I'm changing the subject.
No, get back to serious.
Let's be on the sermon. Okay?
Yeah.
I literally felt like I was drinking out of a fire hose yesterday.
It's a lot.
Because there were times where I would be writing down notes, or I'd listen and I'm like, okay, I need to finish listening and then I'm going to write notes. But then by the time I finished listening, I forgot what I was going to write.
I didn't know if I should just listen or just take notes because I feel like I couldn't do both.
Yeah. I feel like I need to re-listen and take notes again. Yeah.
And I was talking to someone today about it and how if this was your first exposure to Genesis, that you probably got a little lost.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
there's a lot.
If this was your first exposure to church, you'd be like, holy moly. You know, it's a lot. And it's intense. And I think each book is obviously going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the daunting task that I think we're taking on.
For sure.
I mean, there are going to be some weeks where we're going through 5 books of the Bible all in one sermon. Mm-hmm. You know, because they tie into one another. Like a Nehemiah, Esther, or Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Those all kind of tie in together. So my assumption would be they would cover all three of those.
Yeah, because we're only doing like 50-something weeks, and we have 66 books. So
Sure.
So we'll probably do 1 and 2 John together, and Philemon. Yeah.
But with that, I think what it does is, and Brad mentioned it, the point is so that we can kind of, he calls it the 40,000 foot view, or is
the 30,000
foot view of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes we get plugged into the nitty gritty of like, well, what do they say about tongues in the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus what is the theme of each book? And if you have ever gone to Academy, one of the things they make you do in that is really summarize the theme of not only each chapter, but what would be the theme of the whole book. And it really helps you condense like what you're learning into just one sentence, you know?
And when you're learning it within, you know, an hour or 40-minute sermon, you can see the themes pop out more. Because there's a group of us reading through the Bible at the same speed that the church is preaching it. And so I finished Genesis, and I've never, like, all the themes pop out at you differently because you're not going verse by verse by verse. You're just reading through it really quick, and then things... you can see the book as a whole better, if that makes
totally.
Sense.
Totally. And I think that that's everything that you just said. I think that's why this is a great sermon series to really read your Bible along with, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you think about it, it's complicated. I mean, it'll be hard,
right?
But you could finish the Bible in a year and basically have a study guide for the whole year as well, mm-hmm. you know? Which is exciting and cool. And I think that if you're willing to make that journey, it could be exciting. And if you've ever seen our Bible reading plans, they're labeled generations. And I don't think they go along with the Bible.
No,
but
this season starts in 1 Samuel.
But you could still read your entire Bible.
Mm-hmm. In a year.
In a year.
If you're interested in reading the Bible in the same order that the church is preaching on, then let us know, because there's a group of us ladies that are doing it. And we meet once a month and talk about it. So you can jump in at Exodus is this week. So jump in then if you're interested.
And with that, the generation series is, I think if you look at it as like, oh, it's so much to cover, I think recognize you're not going to get each week your mind's not going to be blown, or you're not going to get a ton out of it. You're going to get what you get out of it, you know? And I think that's, sometimes we think we have to get all 40 minutes out of the sermon. Mm-hmm. Like you guys are talking about, well, I felt like I got lost or whatever. It's like, well, sure. It's an entire book of the Bible. So get what you can get out of it. And when you listen, you know, and you're actually tuned in, maybe that's what you needed to get. Maybe that's what God wanted you to listen to, versus the, sometimes paying attention for 40 minutes can be almost like, I don't know, like I feel like a classroom or a lecture, you know?
And you have to go into it knowing, chances are there's not going to be 5 application points at the end of reading Numbers, but know that you're going into it to learn more about the holy words that the Lord has spoken. And that's your motivation, not to necessarily like, you know, get some application point.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Now, Brad didn't necessarily go into it, but Jane, you were at the Academy where we talked about kind of the creation. And it's just crazy how many different views there are on creation. And I think Brad, in literally like 5 seconds, just kind of summed it up and was like, I think it's a 24-hour day, and I think that God can really do whatever he wants. And then he took a break, and that's how it worked.
Yeah.
You know, and I just... who nobody really knows, you know, everybody's got a theory but I think what that does is like, that's not the point. You know, we get so stuck on how was the world created? How was the earth created? Tell us about this water vapor that was above the earth. And I think we get stuck on that doesn't matter. In the beginning was God. He created man. And then sin came in, you know? Mm-hmm. And, in my sermon this past year, I spoke on kind of this connection between Genesis 3:15 and I believe I'm losing my train of thought here, but I don't remember what it connected to, but it was this Christ will one day, you know, bruise the, or
he
Jesus
is,
will get bruised, but he'll crush the serpent.
Yeah, yeah. What's the he is redeemer. He is.
I don't remember what the he is. He is the promise. He is the promise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Promise all the way back from Genesis 3:15. And so just those kind of things really stuck out to me of like the creation story of, it's not about that. It's really about this guy who's to come, and everything's going to kind of point to that.
Yeah.
And it starts with, after, you know, chapter 12, you get into chapter 13. It starts with this guy, Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to learn about all that. And really my hope in the end of this series, I don't know how it's going to work, but you're going to be able to start to see a storyline kind of play itself out.
Well, and even the substitutionary atonement of how he provided covering for them and how Jesus is our covering and all of that too. That was what you talked about, right? Was that not
that
you?
That was more Brad's sermon.
Oh, okay.
Brad spoke more on that in the He Is series.
Oh, okay.
But what PJ and I did, the He Is the Promise, and what we essentially did is take the storyline of the Bible and really rush through it in, you know, 25 minutes, but say, here's, you know, Jesus, the first mention of him going to destroy Satan, and here's how that plays itself out all throughout. Yeah. And this is essentially going slower than what we did in that one sermon.
Yeah. I like, too, there was a point that he mentioned about, gosh, I don't remember exactly. I can look it up because I saved it. But he made a comment of just like when people go through rough things and you wonder why and whatever. He talked about, like, gosh, it's taking a long time to load on my phone. It's not working. But how he can't fully use you until you've been completely broken. Sure. Do you guys remember that part?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like that part. Just
someone
a reminder.
Someone posted that on Instagram.
Like, huh? So, yeah. Stacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just that reminder of, like, I mean, for me, like, I feel like the Lord's been teaching me through the imagery of a tree and stuff. And that pruning process is what he said reminded me of, the pruning process of it hurts and it sucks and it's not easy. But in the end, the ultimate goal for all that, the hard stuff that you're going to go through, is more growth and knowing God in a different way too. So
sure.
That was a cool thing that I like to hear from him.
I think one of the other things, sorry, Sarah, one of the things that I pulled out of it, and it's also in your Bible charts, is, you know, you hear about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all these people, they kind of did this thing on the Bible chart, and just here's what they have in common. And I think that sometimes we think we have to be this insanely religious person to do things for God. And those three huge names in the Bible, like, I mean, you hear that their names throughout the whole Bible. They all lied. They all failed. They all had trials. All were shown the patience of God. They all had faith. All had to offer their son. And all died believing in the promise, which is Christ one day.
Yeah.
And I just, I think I appreciate, you know, him making a nod to these three characters that we look at as these, like, mega religious people, and going, look, these people are human. They failed, and we too can fail. And yet God's still going to use us. And he clearly used these guys to essentially start this movement, you know? And that's just the exciting thing about reading Genesis, is it just, it's the beginning. You know, I think of it like a character development piece in a movie. You know, like, I mentioned this in a sermon over the summer, but, like, when you see the Avengers, they do the character development piece on all the, and this is kind of it. It's the character development of these three central characters. You get the tribes out of this, and then the story starts moving with Exodus.
And the covenants and all that.
Sure.
Then those being fulfilled, and
What are you going to say, Sarah?
Just with the, I don't know. Brad did that last night at the five. He sang something, went, and he he sounded good. Like, sorry. Okay. Anyway, so about, like, the patriarchs and how, like, they, followed, I mean, they're imperfect and they didn't know the whole story. They just have to follow blindly. Like the Israelites, I guess I'll talk about this in Exodus, but Israelites are wandering around in circles for 40 years.
Sure.
Talking about the promised land, and really the country of Israel is like the size of New Jersey, and it takes a lot less than 40 years to walk across it. So they really just went in circles.
Sure.
Because the Lord wasn't done teaching them. And
sure.
We see the whole thing and we're like, oh, they're so dumb. They're so impatient, you know?
Sure.
And really, like, they had to have so much faith, and I don't mean to talk about Exodus, but like the patriarchs, like, they just had to follow blindly. They didn't know the whole story, and they, God asked them to do really weird things and asked them to do things that were totally countercultural, and they just had to do it, and they didn't always do it well, but they still obeyed. Except Joseph. Joseph had really good integrity, and I really enjoyed.
Joseph's a good guy.
Yeah. I mean, I got frustrated reading about Jacob because Jacob was a bad guy, and he was blessed because God chose to bless him, and God, that he was who God was going to use. And I was frustrated yet comforted at the same time, because I thought, oh man, if God chose me on my worst day, I for sure wouldn't. No, I'm so glad he doesn't choose us based off of how good we are.
I remember as a kid, like, the story of Jacob, he somehow gets goat's hair or something and he puts it on his hand.
Yeah.
You know, to pretend like he's his hairy brother.
Yeah.
Esau.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, like, I'm going to do that trick one. I'm going to do that.
Was someday. Your brother Harry?
No, but, like, I was going to try and trick my dad that I was Charles, which is my brother. And I just thought, like, that's how my brain
just
went
in case your dad goes blind.
Sure,
and
I
needs
don't
to
know.
Give
I
you his inheritance.
Inheritance.
That's
so
the
funny.
Weirdest yeah. thing that you would find hair and put it on your hand yeah. and pretend like your brother. But that's what
the logic
Old
of
Testament,
a child.
Yeah, the logic
hey,
of Jacob.
It worked.
Yeah.
So thanks. If you are. Didn't go to church this past week. My recommendation would be this is probably a good, you want to listen to all these sermons or else you're going to get lost. I don't think the 3 minutes of previously at yeah. church last week, you're going to catch up on everything that you missed. But this is a great series to really understand the flow of your Bible, the story of your Bible, but also just some of the things you might have missed when you just read your Bible simply in the mornings. You know, this is more an in-depth study of here's a larger view of this book of the Bible. And so mm-hmm. I'm excited for it. It's our generation series. We'll end in Revelation. And you'll see flannel graphs up throughout this series. And you'll I think it's going to be fun. I like when The Well does series like this. So it's exciting.
It is super duper exciting.
Up next, we got Jesse Wilson. Enjoy some more hipster cool music. All right. From the faithful river girl, in the towers of the vertical, out of total your hair, just to climb back. All right, welcome back. We are here with one of my faves, and her name is Jesse Wilson. Jesse, how are you?
I'm great.
Jesse,
how are you?
When is the last? With you on the show, couldn't have been better.
It's true. We were really excited that you said yes.
Yeah. Good. When's the last time you were on the show? Was this early days, or you've been on before that?
It was a long time ago when I was in missions doing tri-tip fundraisers.
Wow, so it's been some time.
Yeah. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jane wasn't even around, was she?
I wasn't even on the show yet.
Yeah.
Man, how's it feel to be in the studio with me, Jesse?
So good.
So fun.
Well, let me say a couple things about Jesse first, and then we'll kind of get into you, okay? But I'll toot your horn for a second here.
That doesn't make any sense.
We're going to say some things about Jesse, and then we're going to talk about Jesse.
But then Jesse can talk about herself, okay?
Okay.
Couple things. I think Jesse is one of those people that laughs at your joke, and she genuinely believes it's funny, even if other people don't believe it's funny, right?
I probably agree.
You're not the type of person that just laughs because you feel like you have to laugh to make somebody feel good about themselves.
Right.
You laugh because you genuinely find it funny,
yes.
right?
Yes.
It's a great quality.
And it's a misconception because not everyone's funny.
It's true. Sure. And she has a really great laugh, too.
She has a great laugh.
Probably one of the best in the office.
Wow.
Love bomb on Jesse.
Also, we have this thing at the Well office where we have what's called the Welly Deli, and that's where those who aren't, you know, billionaires, high rollers, who don't eat, who eat lunch in the office and kind of bring their own lunch or, you know, whatever.
I don't eat out of the office. I just don't eat in the Welly Deli. Eat at my desk.
You need to learn to take a break every now and then.
I'm not referring per se to you.
Oh, you're referring to the pastors who are raking
in the ballers,
dough.
You know, yeah. So so one of the things is I would be considered the mayor of the Welly Deli.
Yes.
And Jesse and Cam a long time ago gave me that position. And I literally have done nothing. But for some reason, Jessie is like almost like a tooth fairy. She comes in and she cleans it. She cleans the fridge. She makes things look really nice.
Like little elves.
Right. And I get all the credit.
I don't leave money.
And yeah. You know, and I get all the credit. People go, Christian, the Welly Deli looks great. And I was like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I know better.
So then what's Jessie's role? Like,
Jessie's really the mayor of the Welly
Deli. Jessie's the Welly Deli fairy.
I just like to keep house.
Totally.
One time, didn't Jane threaten to overthrow the mayor of the Welly Deli?
And then it was petitioned to me to run for that position.
I don't do anything, so you can have the position, but I just like taking the credit when people go, the Welly Deli looks great. And I go, totally, man. It looks awesome. Yeah.
And then you walk in and check it out and you're like, wow, it does look great.
Yeah. And it's all Jessie. Uh-huh. So Jessie, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
But Jessie Wilson is, what would be your official title at the Well?
Dual roles, communications admin and front receptionist.
So if I were to call the Well, I would hear your voice, correct?
Some days. We have a lot of volunteers that do the phones in the front.
So. We'll get into the volunteers in a moment.
Here. She's the voice on the voicemail, though.
Yeah, you're the voice of the Well.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about that? I mean, it's like we are the voice of the Spoutcast.
Yes.
You'd be the voice of the Well. Huh. Now, so you got a voice for radio naturally, you know, because you're on the voicemail all the time. No?
Supernatural.
I do remember I used to be nervous to record the voicemails or things.
It's stressful.
And now it's so easy.
It is stressful. Yeah. And then when you mess up one time, it's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
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 So, Jessie, you kind of do some of the front receptionist stuff, but for the most part, I feel like I see you a lot in the back with the communications team.
Yes.
And what would you do? What do you do for them? And what is our communications team? Maybe for the listeners.
Yeah. The communications team takes care of everything creative. So all the art panels and pieces, backgrounds on the worship slides, things like that.
Anything printed that you're holding in your hand?
Anything printed, our website design and all the content on there. So I'm the admin, which means I have a wide variety of things I'll do. The social media, like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and then I'll help with film shoots or update things on the website.
So if something ever pops up on Facebook or on Instagram or on Twitter, most likely it's Jessie Wilson posting it. So if you've ever thought, wow, that's a great, great thought, or oh, that's really cool, or oh, I like that, it's typically Jessie Wilson, right?
Yes.
Do you have those on a timer like thing? Because there was some tweets that went out on Christmas.
Yes.
And I thought, Jessie, I hope this is a timer because you should not be working on Christmas.
Yep, we use this.
Time out.
Oh.
Shouldn't be working on Christmas, but it's okay to work on your lunch break.
Yeah, it's okay to come in the Welly Deli.
I'm just not taking a lunch break.
I'm just saying, all right.
Christmas and lunch are very different.
Misprotective of the workday, and you're not even protective of your own time.
You know, I'm
just saying.
I like to work and eat at the same time.
Okay, feel the freedom to answer the question now.
We use Hootsuite, which we can schedule out posts, and they time and post when we want. So.
I feel like Jessie, and you know, we might need to add a position to our Spoutcast team, but you really are our social media
guru.
Yeah, guru, or just our social media
sensei.
Because what I would say, we get the most listens to the Spoutcast, and we've actually gained, you know, listeners and followers through you posting either Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook about the Spoutcast.
Yeah,
because our measly tweets and stuff don't compare to the 4,000 followers.
We have a lot of Instagrams.
Yeah, we do Instagram every week.
Yeah.
Do we know how much or if more people listen now than they did, say, 3 months ago?
Well, it's tough to say because people can listen on the app and you wouldn't know who that is. People can now listen through the podcast app on iTunes.
How are we supposed to know when we hit 1 million listeners?
Well, Jessie will let us know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Jessie will let us know. Great.
So, you post all the Facebook posts for the most
part. Pretty much, yep.
Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, I like it. It's definitely a collaborative effort on some of them, you know, depending on what's going on and what we post. But Yeah, I like it a lot.
Do you do the editing of her, or is that Janie? Janie does the editing.
Yeah, Janie is like my go-to person
for the editing.
She's all-knowing, yes,
for
and
sure,
brilliant. So,
out of the three of those social medias, which one would you say you like the best?
I'd say Instagram.
You like Instagram for the Well specifically?
Yeah, it's fun. Well, and for personal.
I have more followers than the Well's Instagram. I'm just, I mean, it's like it's no big deal. I mean. Who said that?
You're so cool.
Should I walk out of here?
Yeah, walk into the sliding glass door.
Oh, you did that one time.
So, Jesse, you mentioned volunteers earlier.
Yes.
And one of the things is that Jesse, because she has to bounce back between with communications and the front desk, you are always in need of front desk volunteers, correct?
Yep.
What would, if I wanted to volunteer for the Well in the office, what would I do?
Yeah, basically... someone would sign up on our serve page on the Well website, and I would connect with them. We'd set up an in-person meeting, and
sure.
I would, you know, feel them out and see if they're like a quality Jesus-loving person. And then
make sure it's not a lunatic that wants to answer her phones.
Yeah, well, just the role is very important because they are a face of the Well and they represent the Well. They're privy to sometimes, you know, confidential information, things like that. So we do sort of like an interview process, and they meet with Stacey King, our HR director. And after that, it's just training and scheduling them. So
I like all of our front desk people. They're always so nice, so great. And you started doing these emails recently of like, because I'll probably say we have like 12, I feel like a lot total.
It might feel like that. We have about 7 or 8.
Okay. Well, sometimes I don't know their names, but then you started sending out emails with their faces and their names. Okay. I know who these people are.
Yeah. Now. I wish I could do it for them, for the staff, but it's not very realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should get one of those, like, remember back in like elementary school where you'd get a class picture,
you know,
you should get that of all the Wells stuff.
Awesome.
Stuff.
I remember before I think I just started going to the Well, so I didn't know anybody, and I volunteered one afternoon on the phones and it was terrifying because people would ask for someone and I'd never heard that name before. Yeah. Do they work here, or are you asking for, is this a wrong number?
Right.
And so that would be scary if you don't know anyone's name.
Yep.
We should do like what, you know, older churches do, like church directories. And, like,
they're helpful.
Church directories. Remember these?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The best, just for staff. But the best thing was you'd have to go in for like a professional photo shoot. And so my parents would dress us up in like our Easter clothes. And it's like, really, for like a church photo shot?
Yep.
This is weird. So, so they would answer phones. They would transfer things. They would obviously, I've had front desk volunteers do stuff for WSM before.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of whatever the need is, they'll kind of fill in.
Super helpful for any department.
Do we have a male volunteer in that role?
We currently do not.
We
like
did at one
we
point.
We did at one point.
For like a couple times.
Who was that?
I don't remember
who that was either. Hopefully he's not a big fan of the show.
You know,
I remember meeting him.
He was a busy person and also worked at Costco, so he ended up, it didn't work out. So.
But it'd be nice, you know, it's different. I feel like if I called the Well, I'd be like, whoa.
There's a man.
Am I talking to a pastor?
is this Brad?
Just throw people off a little bit. Now, one of the things that was cool with the volunteers is that if you came to church this past week, we started our generation series, which we kind of talked about in the sermon discussion. But you noticed the flannel graphs and the, what would you call them, poofy letters?
yeah.
No?
You noticed the poofy letters?
Like a pillow letter?
Pillow letter. And those are at all the campuses. And what was funny is that Jesse posted on our Facebook maybe on Tuesday before.
Wednesday,
and say like, hey, if you know how to sew, come on in the office. And some people responded and came in. And
big group of ladies.
You had this fun, well, ladies and Chris.
Yeah,
that's true. And Chris and Casey was
and
there.
And Casey,
too.
How many ladies came?
You know.
I feel like there was like 5.
It was, I think at some point it was 6 or 7.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And they were all like late or like post 60.
No,
we had a couple younger, 20s.
Yeah, there were some younger ones.
It was fun because my cubicle was near them and listening to them chatter
stuff.
Oh, like me and Jesse were eye chatting. Like this is probably the highlight of their week
now.
Oh, yeah.
Like just
and poor Chris Hensley. Like
I bet Chris was loving
it.
No, he was loving it.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, you're back in that cave all the time. It's probably good to get out and Hang
out with the ladies,
especially when they covered purses and were asking his opinion.
Oh. I'm sure he gave very well thought out opinions.
Have you ever heard of like creative memories?
It's
scrapbook. I mean, that's what it reminded me of.
Totally. Yeah.
One of the funniest things was there was a lady who was you know, a little older than the rest of them, and she had a I don't know what to call it. Was it a, would you call it a walker?
Yeah.
She had a walker, and she was coming out of our restroom, which is in the back corner, which is near where we all eat lunch. And Jeremiah is like peeling an orange. I don't know if you remember this, but he was like peeling an orange, and he was like, he's like, old people just, I mean, how could they, how could they get through an orange? This must be the worst, man. Oh, I can't imagine being old.
Because he's peeling the orange with his hand in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
And we're like giving them the hardest time because he looks ridiculous.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't understand. If I was old, I just wouldn't do this. You know, and this lady's walking by the Welly Dolly. And I don't know if she heard or not, but Jeremiah's the mega harmonizer. Yeah. And I'm all, Jeremiah, you see who walked by? And he's like, no. No, really. And he felt really bad, but it was funny.
She's the sweetest lady.
Yeah, she's super sweet.
One of your WSM parents was there too.
Yeah, Mackenzie Devereaux's mom was there, and she
Michelle.
Michelle, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've seen a couple movies with her husband. Just randomly, we're at the movie theater.
Oh, I thought you meant he was in the movie.
No. We just go to the movies at the same time at like 11 a.m. in the morning. So
I remember a story about that.
Oh, yeah. So now, as far as the volunteers go, that's kind of a separate thing. They don't need to go through that process. If you ever
ask
on Facebook, hey, you want to help out with this, whatever.
Yep.
They can just go for it.
Extra hands, anyone that, you know, is available and willing.
Sure.
Facebook's so good for that.
I'd like to volunteer as somebody who posts on the Wells Facebook. I think that would be fun. Just randomly.
It is pretty fun.
It's pretty fun.
Yep.
I feel like you have a lot of power in that. You know, you could post something that would...
You have posted some, like, childhood pictures of the pastors and say, which, who is
Christian
it?
Christian was one
I was
of those.
One of those, yeah.
Yeah, he was the ginger. The sweater vest one.
No, I think I had a pink sweater.
And rosy cheeks.
And rosy cheeks, yeah.
And there's sometimes you do, I like when you do themes of things, like who said it in the office and say some weird
she
quote.
She quoted me one time.
What was it?
Yeah,
I think it was about Ryan Reynolds.
Oh,
wasn't
surprising.
It?
Oh yeah, what was that one?
Something about I'd like to be Ryan Reynolds' wife or something.
Yes.
Now, let's. This was not what we were going to talk about, but I'm going to just sideline it for a
little
bit.
Going off the script.
Uh-oh. I'm going off script here. Now, Jesse, another reason why you're one of my favorite people is that we have two wonderful pugs at my house, and their names are Winston and Gigi, and they are our children, and
Don't you have a cat too?
We have two cats. Oh, okay. I'm very upset
really
at one of my cats right now.
Why?
Very upset.
Why? What happened?
Very upset.
Okay. Does she know? Have you talked about it?
Oh, I'm mad. That cat peed on my jeans this morning.
These jeans?
That's not
the
these
worst.
Jeans. And I don't know why. There's lots of reasons why it could be.
Apparently,
but
she's mad at you.
Or it could be a urinary tract infection.
Sickness or something.
But there was no, you know, BLOOD. So
that's good.
So usually that would mean that they are. that's what's happening. But,
or the cat's just really mad at you and it's like,
yeah, it could be. We're getting our house painted. It's stressful around there. Yeah. I don't know. We'll
how old is how old is the
he's
cat?
Like five.
Oh, okay, so it's not even like on the brink of death, starting to pee everywhere.
No, not on the brink of death. But Jesse is our faithful, jeez, faithful Sarah. House sitter.
Yeah,
and Jesse, you always tell me you like house sitting. I must assume that you probably hate it, but I don't know.
No, I do like it.
Okay. One of the things, Jesse's got a bit of bad luck when it comes to my house because there's been multiple times where we've come home from vacation and something went wrong with the plumbing of the house. And so like one time, happened? One time the toilet like blew up on you, right?
Was it, okay, the worst, and I think it was the first time I was in the kitchen doing dishes or something.
Yeah.
And then I thought I heard running water, but there wasn't anywhere I should hear running water. And I go and literally the bathtub is overflowing.
The
water is coming out.
Out of the bathtub?
Yes, into the like carpet hallway. So my first thought was to call Tim Ketz.
That was a good idea.
Yes.
Now the water was coming from like the drain, not the spout. It was this weird thing where like it just got blocked up and started like going out the other way. So when you were using the sink in the kitchen, it was essentially coming up through the bathtub.
It
was a total freak thing.
Yes.
And then the next time.
Total freak thing. But then.
I know.
But then the next time you babysat, something happened with our dog set. Something happened with our sink. Like, right? Like
it was something that you saw that I didn't know about. You said water was coming out in the front. Wasn't there?
Oh, that's right. Okay, so another time we have a,
I guess there's a lot.
We have a sprinkler in our front yard, and like water started like leaking out of this pipe in the front. And I was like, Jesse, what'd you do?
Yeah,
breaking everything. So, but
that was the last time I watched your dog.
Never again, Jesse. But one of the things, Jesse, you do some house sitting, you know, and if you have some dogs, Jesse is always available, right?
Almost always.
Almost always. All right.
But yes.
And she is, this is why she's a great house sitter, is because after it's all done, you sometimes pick up the house, which is very nice.
I do like doing that.
Light cleaning.
And you don't eat any of my, you don't eat much of my food. I don't think you've ever eaten any of my food.
Well,
I don't know.
Just drink your coffee.
Yeah, my Keurig.
Yep.
You come over now, I got some Nespresso for you.
Oh,
and it
dang.
Is good stuff.
Weren't you house sitting one time and killed a gerbil?
I killed I would call him a hamster.
A hamster?
And I didn't personally kill it.
It exploded.
It exploded in the garage because
on the 4th of July.
On the 4th of July because the fireworks like stressed it out and so it blew up internally.
So I have yet to actually kill anything. So
you have not
good.
Killed anything.
That's good.
Yeah, if you killed one of the dogs, they might kill you.
Oh, I would be sad.
This
I
has
wouldn't.
Nothing to do with my ability to animal sit, just in case you ever call me, okay?
Okay.
Because I do want to snuggle with your cat.
Okay.
I watched Lexi's dogs when they were on their honeymoon, and 2 days later, the old dog died.
Oh,
when
she
they
had
got
to
back,
be, she
from
had to be
honeymoon.
Put to sleep because she tried to get out, and she like really scraped up herself and like tore muscle and everything, and she had to be put to sleep. Oh. But she was like.
She was on,
like
she was,
14.
Oh, yeah, she's old.
I'll be calling you, Jesse.
Yes.
So Jesse hasn't killed anything other than my carpet.
I didn't kill it.
I don't know. I'd call that.
And
kill.
I don't think I killed your carpet.
The carpet's fine, Jesse. But my favorite thing was we came home and there was like five fans going on.
And Jesse, I didn't know what mold.
Yeah, and Jesse likes you. You're the type of person that sleeps with a fan going on at night.
Yes.
And you had left the fan on to kind of clean the carpet, and you called me like later that night, and you're like, "Hey, do you mind if I come over and get my fan?"
Oh, that's cute.
I can't sleep tonight without the fan. So would that be okay? I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
Revealing my deep dark secrets.
Was the water clear? My roommates make fun of me because I sleep with fans on.
I am
in the summer. I have one in the window, one in the ceiling, and another.
Oh wow,
that's a lot of noise.
But you're more for the noise than anything.
The noise, yeah.
Aren't you just for like?
Noise canceling earphones.
What are these earplugs?
No, because you need noise, not lack of noise.
Now, what color was the water when it came out of the bathtub?
Yeah, that was what
thankfully clear.
Okay, good.
It was the color of water.
Was it soapy?
No, it was just water.
Well, hey, Jesse, I appreciate you coming on the Spoutcast. And if you are a volunteer or want to be a volunteer in the Well office, you could go to our serve page, correct?
Correct.
And what would it be listed underneath there? Like office volunteer or?
I think it's operations.
Operations.
Okay.
And you can also, if you follow us on Facebook, you'll hear about all the latest opportunities too that are kind of random.
Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you'll give a shout out. The real reason why we brought you in here today is so you give us a little shout out on Facebook potentially.
Yep. That's not true. We had no alternate intentions. We just brought you on because we really like you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, but. Consider yourself shouted out.
Ooh,
Spouted out.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Jesse, thanks for being on. Up next, we'll close out the show. Enjoy some more, I'd call it indie music. Yeah?
Jesse chose it.
Jesse's face.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
You chose the music.
I did.
Wow. So two Bon Iver songs, and or Bon Iver, and then one
two
Avett Brothers. Okay.
Two Avett.
Nice. Good choice, Jesse.
Thank you.
And in places like Santa Cruz, you'd be very well loved. You know?
Oh, but, yes. It's my hipster side.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's why you wore the beanie today.
That's why.
All right, thanks, Jesse.
To dress up like hipsters. Certainly get burnt away the
We all just stared at each other. We're back.
Thank you for joining us today, you guys. Do we have any closers?
Well,
any
I just want to shoot a
concluding
plug.
Remarks?
Shoot a plug.
I want to shoot a plug.
A plug.
To the app. I know that we've talked about it before, but mm-hmm. it really is helpful, especially with this generation series. You can also get the Spoutcast, but you can listen to sermons on the go. I listen to the sermons through the iTunes podcast app, but I also, this is a great outlet to do it. I think also there's just fun interactive things on there that you can do. There's, I think it's more of an experience now. So I know about a year ago, if you had the app, it was not anything spectacular.
I deleted it.
Yeah, I deleted it too. Mm-hmm. I now have it again, yes. And I like having it.
Yeah,
it's helpful. And Brad mentioned printing out the Bible charts, but I am not a note taker. Like, I didn't write a single word down in any of my notes at Academy, and like everybody was feverishly like writing things down. I'm like, what the heck are you guys doing?
There,
like,
was no way to write down fast enough to keep up with Rick Taylor.
Did you take notes in class when
never took notes in anything?
Well,
in my whole
do you
life.
Remember all of it?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I don't pay attention most of the time, but that's just what I do.
You have a blessed brain, but I take it.
I don't have a blessed brain. I just, it's like the people that think if them writing notes down is going to help them do better on a test. It's like, dude, just let it go.
No, there's actually
your notes.
There's academic literature that prove taking notes help you do better in school.
For some learners.
For some.
I don't think for all
learners. To listen, if you listen to something, you only retain 20% of it. If you write it down, you retain 40%. If you reteach it to the class, you retain 80%
for
of what you
learn.
For
all people or just specific learners?
All people. That was, I mean, I guess I don't know that for a fact, but.
Do we have the same degree?
No.
We don't have the same degree. I mean, we have a college degree, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, so, you majored in child development?
So I somehow passed without taking a single note, correct?
Right.
So then we're good.
No, retention rate. But you did it.
Magna cum laude?
Oh, what's magnum? Which one's that?
I was. She didn't take the notes.
No, I was the sigma.
Above a 3.2.
Oh, I was 3.5.
Ooh.
Okay, a little smarter than me, but.
But
it's, what's 4.0? I got Dean's.
That's like
list.
Summa cum laude.
Oh, I got that.
But
in college?
I didn't graduate college. Oh.
Hey, way to throw her under the bus, Sarah.
Wow.
Thanks, Sarah. I had no idea.
In high school.
I did not. I got 3.2 in high school.
I got 4.16. What now?
I didn't take a single AP class. Anymore.
What I'm trying to get to is that if you don't take notes, you can just look at the chart on your phone. That's very helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And because you don't need to be a note taker to pay attention.
It's
that's
true.
My assumption.
I didn't mean
there.
To get onto a little soapbox. We can delete this from the podcast,
Sarah,
if we need to.
Why don't you step off, all right?
Hey, I have a thing to remind listeners of. If you are a college student, January 27th, following the 7 p.m. service, we are doing Rush. Mm-hmm. So like how you rush for college, things like that. We are rushing life groups and ministry teams. So, yeah,
the band Rush is going to be playing in the background.
And we're going to be playing USA Rush, the video game.
We're actually going to
have. And we're going to be showing Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3.
Yep. Wow, Christian, you loved that one. Oh my gosh, he's dying. Breathe, Christian. Breathe. Christian, inhale air.
Oh,
there
man,
it
Sarah,
is.
That
there
was a great tag team right there. That was good.
See, that's good humor. That's good.
That's funny. All right, well.
January 27th, Rush.
This is the spouse.
And we're out.
But I know what she's saying. I understand because my heart.